Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Keep calm and shovel on. That's what the front page of the Boston Herald urged us to do earlier this week. But it's not easy, not with those long lines for the T, if it's running at all, and those painfully slow, snow-clogged roads. Not with the growing cabin fever, with kids home from school again. Bottom line, as the snow piles up on the city, so does a whole lot of stress. Research shows that winter storms cause people to exercise less, eat and drink more, and forego the regular social interaction with friends and family. And all this is making us cranky. So here are a few headlines from the police blotter from recent days. A Somerville man attacked a snowplow driver with a shovel. A plowman in Andover pulled a gun on another driver. An Arlington man crashed his truck into a fire truck because he was angry that the firefighters had shoveled snow from around a hydrant onto a sidewalk that he'd just cleared. So, joining me now to talk about the stress and the emotional fallout of the winter of 2015 is Dr. Barbara Green. She's a clinical psychologist and medical director of Youth Health Connection at the South Shore Hospital, and she's been practicing in Hingham for more than 25 years, long enough to have seen quite a few winters here. So maybe she's got some perspective that can help us. Barbara Green, welcome to Radio Boston. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's very good to have you. And listeners, how are you handling the snow and the stress? Have you seen drivers more aggressive than usual? Fights over parking spaces, snowball fights escalating into more serious fights. What's your advice to get through this winter? The doctor is in. What questions do you have for her? What comments do you have? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. So, Dr. Green, I'd love to ask you, what are you seeing, first of all, in your practice? I mean, is there a measurable sort of jump up in terms of business?
Well, I wouldn't describe it as a jump in business, but I would certainly say that there's been a jump in the conversation and dialogue around what we're experiencing, and that I think that people's reactions really fall along a fairly broad spectrum from those who demonstrate kind of what I call remarkable resilience and optimism to those who are really struggling and feeling from cranky and weary to maybe sometimes demonstrating rage.
Right. And so let's take that second group first. I mean, what's the major cause? I mean, obviously, we're all feeling the stress, being cooped up, the cold, the snow, the long commutes. What causes people to feel that?
Well, I think there are several variables that come into play that we consider, and I would put them into three categories. Intensity, severity, and duration. And I think that our experience with the snowfall totals through February really hit very high on each of those three criteria. The storms have certainly been intense, they certainly have been severe, and they certainly have come through with duration. As I was driving into the studios this afternoon, I was listening to the weather. I know they're predicting more for tomorrow and also the day after, and possibly a rain and ice event for Sunday, which from my perspective sounds worse than snow.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah, absolutely. You know, this sentence I read in the introduction, research shows that winter storms cause people to exercise less, eat and drink more, forego their regular social interactions with friends and family. Those all sound like real things that could definitely pile up and weigh people down.
Well, I do think that that's something that we're seeing. The normal tasks of life and how busy each of us are day to day, I think, are being compounded with the challenges with commuting, with the relentless sense of shoveling, with the concerns about ice dam, and the general amount of extra work that comes into each day just to get standard tests done, let alone our routines of exercise and good food. You know, as creatures, as people, we thrive with routine. Mm-hmm. And I think that everyone has been thrown off their routine. So it's harder to get up and make a 6 o'clock exercise class if, in fact, you're facing a 2-hour commute with shuttle buses and trains and T's and everything else that it takes to get to work. So I think it's really accumulative at this point.
Listeners, we're talking about how you're handling the snow and the stress, how we're handling it. Have you seen drivers more aggressive than usual? What are you seeing out there? What are your issues? What questions do you have about how to get through this winter, this very tough winter of 2015? What suggestions do you have? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're talking to Dr. Barbara Green. She's a clinical psychologist at the Center for Integrative Counseling and Wellness in Hingham. You mentioned routine and how we're creatures of routine. And I have a sort of theory about this, because when the snow first comes, I almost get the sense that I'll just speak for myself. I sort of welcome the break of routine. I sort of like watching the snow pile up and getting out there for the first time and shoveling. And then at a certain point, you cross over, and it gets old really, really quickly. But I'd love for you to address that. Just the you know, at what point you say we're creatures of routine, but also shaking things up a little bit can also be a useful thing. But then if our routine gets shaken up too long, too radically, it becomes a problem.
Well, I think that is absolutely true. I write a monthly column for the Youth Health Connection newsletter, and one that I wrote in the beginning of February was called Hitting Nature's Pause Button. Mm-hmm. And I actually am someone who loves snow. I'm known. I actually have an I Love Snow sign on my kitchen counter. I will tell you, I sent out an email to my friends that said, I surrender, and now have it turned upside down on my kitchen counter. But that aside, you know, and I don't want to neglect the understanding and thankfulness that we should have towards first responders and people who need to get to their jobs, home health care workers, people who work in hospitals. I'm on staff at South Shore, and I will tell you that everyone is as dedicated as they can be and do their job, snow or otherwise. But I do think initially, you know, the first snow, it's kind of exciting. We settle in. It gives families a time to bake cookies and play games and be together. This first storm that we experienced, we were lucky we didn't lose power, as has been the case with most of these other storms that we've had. So I think initially there's a sense of, wow, it's a chance to literally just take a break.
Yeah.
And to be together, to be connected in a way that day-to-day living doesn't always afford us or allow us. But I do think that the relentlessness of it, the challenge of getting to work, and for many people now, the loss of revenue and business interruption that's occurring is really creating additional hurdles that we're needing to face.
Well, I want to ask you for advice and, I guess, coping mechanisms, but let's take a couple of calls. Costa is calling from Jamaica Plain. Hi, Costa. You're on the air. Glad to have you.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I was just going to call because as somebody who's worked in a lot of organizing contexts, you know, at the community and political level, something I've noticed in my neighborhood is that it sounds terribly sappy, but just knowing your neighbors can be the most useful thing in this situation.
Of course, I don't think that sounds sappy at all. It sounds important. And Barbara Green, you were talking about social interaction, or I think we made reference to how important social interaction is and how storms like this can interrupt sort of normal routines of social interaction.
I actually think that knowing your neighbors, having a sense of community, the whole concept of connection, or as Dr. Ned Halliwell calls it, vitamin C, is one of the most powerful components and building blocks for resilience. And certainly resilience is one of those things that we all have to dig deep and feel as we grapple with what we've been enduring. And connection, and I think it's when we're not in a car, when we're walking down the street, when we're shoveling, when we're helping elders or others cope with sidewalks or ice dams, that's really one of the most powerful antidotes to what we're going through.
Right. Costa, thanks for that call. Let's go to Jay, who's calling from Framingham. And Jay, it's good to have you. And I understand you're a plow driver, so you must be busy these days.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yes, I just want to know if this kind of weather, a lot of snow, have any effect. You know, a plow driver, the guy who do plowing, working like 19 hours a day. I was sleeping like 7-8 hours 2-3 weeks ago, and now just 2 hours, and I can't sleep no more. So just want to know which effect have this in my health or my stress.
Right. So, yeah, so it sounds like you say you're sleeping maybe 2 hours a night, and even though you're...
2.5
Two and a half, yeah. Dr. Green, any advice here?
Well, I think you raise a really important point, and let me actually personally thank you for being out there and plowing, as well as every other plow driver. I do kind of a thumbs up to each one I see in gratitude. Physical exhaustion is one of the things I think many people are talking about today. Certainly, you're not getting enough sleep, and with that, I would assume not getting enough exercise and perhaps even have your diet or your eating habits thrown off. And that kind of throws off our entire what I call lifestyle management category, and our ability to handle our emotions, to control impulses, to deal with the normal stressors, let alone what you're encountering as a plow driver, are minimized and brought down so they're not as robust or as rigorous as we would want them to be.
All right, Jay. Well, thanks for the call. And I'll second what Dr. Green said. Thanks for the work you do. I know keeping the roads clear is so important. Let's go to Dave, who's calling from 495. Dave, you're on the air.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. I was going to follow up on something your guest said. 2 years ago, we had a storm in February that knocked power out. And where I live, when the power's out, I don't have water, I don't have heat, I don't have cooking, I can't do anything. And it was out for 5 days. That gets old very, very quickly. This time, we haven't lost power, knock wood. So we've been able to get around. The other thing that I find stressor is people driving with the huge snow piles tend to pull out into streets without looking, without stopping, and you don't know quite where it's going. So that's creating a driving hazard. But other than that, we got a lot of snow, got some ice dams, we're going to have some problems at the house, but it's not so bad that I can't live with it and get around it.
All right, Dave.
I'm going to talk to you on the air. Thank you.
Dave, thanks so much for the call. Barbara, it sounds like Dave is able to sort of put this in perspective. But this sort of leads to another question, and that is, a lot of us are dealing with these, I mean, I would call them what I'm dealing with, minor inconveniences relative to big problems. But it can be worse for people suffering from things like depression or seasonal affective disorder. I mean, I have to imagine that this is a particularly difficult set of challenges right now.
I think that's absolutely true. And I have certainly received calls from people who have had periods of anxiety or depression. And I think that when we go through a traumatic period of time, as we are, that there can be a tendency for people to re-experience or have a return to anxiety. If you listen to the news constantly, which I recommend listening to it, then turning it off, taking a breath, getting prepared, keeping it in perspective as a way to not have your anxiety just continue to escalate and increase.
Hmm. What happens? How do you describe when sort of the effect on an entire region? I mean, in the news business, I think we have a habit of sort of summing up areas and regions and communities as if we're all cranky, we're all feeling the stress. And to an extent, that's true. But to an extent, that's also a kind of simplistic formulation. But what happens? Is there such thing as a community overwhelmed by this? Or how would you describe that?
Well, you know, I do think that I'm an unabashed fan of Boston. I love living here. I think we are a remarkable community or communities together. And I think that while many people are stressed, I guess what I would like to suggest is that I see equally as many people connecting, collaborating, mm-hmm. cooperating, taking care of, reaching out. In my neighborhood, one of my neighbors baked bread and delivered it to everyone on the street. And that was just a beautiful, lovely gesture. And I think that, sadly so, Boston has been challenged with other traumatic events. Certainly the marathon bombings, I think, brought us to the term of Boston Strong. And I see that actually as the banner that's waving us through this. Even if we look at the Super Bowl win, kind of at the first snowstorm, we've continued to persevere, and I think that that is something about digging deep and believing in the ability to get through adversity.
Listeners, we're talking about digging deep and digging out of this weather. How are you handling this snow and this stress? Is this a time for to raise the banner anew of Boston Strong? Give us a call. Tell us how you're coping, what questions you have. 1-800-423-8255. We've got a couple more callers to go to. Let's go to Jeremy, who's calling from Roslindale. Jeremy, you're on the air.
How are you guys doing today?
Very well. How are you?
I am doing amazing. I love the snow. Always have. I think always will. Was born in the Northeast. Spent time up in Alaska. And the one thing I found in Alaska is winter months, people get depressed.
Yeah.
So you got to do something about it. You got to get out and enjoy it.
And that has a lot to do with
snowshoe or ski or anything, but you got to find a way to enjoy this.
Right.
It's beautiful weather.
So what's your advice, Jeremy?
Like, I'm not able to go to the gym. Say, okay, I'm going to go out and shovel snow. It's probably better cardio than going to the gym and riding on a cycle for
I would agree. And actually, one of the recommendations is in the morning, get up, go outside, breathe the fresh air. If it's not too cold, even if it's just for 10 minutes, that it is a restorative factor that all of us can use. We don't need skis or snowshoes to do so. I actually split my time between here and Montana, and I can tell you my friends in Montana right now are depressed because they don't have snow. So for all of us, yes, it's lovely if you can get to a ski slope or if you have snowshoes and can do it, but the simple act of shoveling, of walking in the snow, of enjoying the beauty, of being in the moment, and keeping perspective, knowing this too will pass, and at some point the 4th of July comes around.
Jeremy, thanks. I'm glad we have a snow advocate, an enthusiastic snow advocate out there among our callers. Let's go to Yanni, who is calling from Brookline. Yanni, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. What's on your mind?
I was about to say, I strongly agree with Jeremy. Not only is the snow beautiful, but it's just also very easy to get outside your house. You know, I frequently like to call my friends and we go on walks. And you don't have to invite them. And it's just an opportunity to go out there and support the local businesses. You don't have to get on the tee if you don't want to. We know that that's not a good idea these days. So you can just get out and walk to your local restaurant, have a meal, and really just enjoy the simplicity of it. We know that we're all cooped up inside, but nothing says you can't get out and walk.
All right, Yanni, I appreciate that. I appreciate that call. And Barbara, this is obviously important, especially people who are cooped up, get out and walk. But a lot of people that might be difficult. I'm thinking of elderly people who might have trouble with mobility, and the roads are icy and snowy. It might not be so easy.
That's absolutely true, and I think that we need to be caring and compassionate to those. For anyone who has mobility challenges, snow and ice magnify that many times over. I also think that we need to be very empathic to our commuters today as a region. Anyone using mass transit, if you follow the news reports and see the photographs or hear the stories of people's commutes, journeys taking 2, sometimes 3, 4 hours each way, you know, I really think that we need to extend kindness to them and understanding, because it's easy to keep perspective when you're in your car and maybe commuting a few miles. But if you're in one of those long lines waiting for a packed bus to come to shuttle you into the city, it's not so much fun.
One of the messages we hear from the mayor, the governor, other public officials is people calling for calm. is that helpful?
I think it is. And actually, I will tell you, I've been quite struck with how calm people have been. I think often the emotional tenor comes from the top and how well our leaders are demonstrating their ability to have good leadership, to be empathic, to be creative in problem solving, to be realistic, to be practical. I think that's really important. But if you following the news reports, people are remarkably calm as they've been standing in lines waiting for transit to arrive.
I'd agree with that. I think on balance, that's what I've observed out there, notwithstanding a lot of a lot of inconvenience and difficulties over these past 2 or 3 weeks. Well, Dr. Barbara Green, she's a clinical psychologist in Hingham and medical director of the Youth Connection at the South Shore Hospital. Thanks so much for coming in. We're very grateful.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.